Happy to be here this morning, and I thank God who enabled me to be here. I'm still working on my English, and I believe one time I'll be speaking like you. But this time I'll ask you to bear with me because I still have problems with English. English is my third language out of the five languages I can't speak. But I don't know whether I told you one time I was coming here, and one of my daughters said, "Daddy, how are you going to speak to the Americans?" And I said, "What do you mean exactly?" And she said, "With that bad English." Then I said, "Don't mind, God will help us." So I bring greetings from Uganda, from Sarah, my wife, and our five daughters, and the champions and your brother in the churches. They convey their greetings to you, and we always remember Emmanuel Church in our prayers. Every Friday we have what we call the overnight prayers, which begins at 9 to 4 in the morning, and 9 in the evening, and then 4 in the morning. So, but we have 2 constant hours praying for this country, and more especially this church, and our friends and brothers. And we will never forget those who took their time to come to Uganda with Pastor Jim, Pastor David. I remember even David and Clay and Scott and Lynn. When that group came in Uganda, we shall never forget what God really done in our lives through their teachings and their preaching, and how God touched many people. And I'll never forget that. And we thank you for supporting us, even financially. Thank you for just giving us a hand to be able to take care of those orphans. Oh, sorry, for those champions. We don't call them orphans, we call them champions. And they have grown up, they are in good health, they are promoted to other different grades in school. And a little bit about what God has done in my family, and then I'll go back to the champions. We celebrated our 30th year in marriage with Sarah on the 2nd of February. That was a big deal. Yes, God really gave me Sarah as a gift, and I'll keep her forever. So we shall celebrate more and more years according to his teachings. That's exactly right. She loves that's one of the reasons why she loves Pastor Jim. Because he once he did he brought all the burdens on my shoulders, and she says, I need the blessings. Yeah, and one of our daughters got married on the 19th of December, and we had a wonderful big wedding. And even honor. The way the weddings are done in Uganda might be different from yours here. It's a process. You begin by visiting some of the relatives, then finally you visit the parent. But I remember that day when they came to visit me, to be introduced to me. We had a big occasion, and we are expecting 40 people from the side of the husband, but they came 90. And for us, we are over 200. My family and my friends and church members. But what happened, one of the elderly sister in the Lord in our church died on that very day. So we had to split into two. Can you imagine if all of them came? But we had a wonderful time. There are 2 things that happened, and I want always to witness to talk about it. I don't know whether you understand it, but let me talk about it. When they asked me what I needed for a dowry, I said, "I need a cow. I need a big, fat cow, never delivered a baby calf. And I want Muzungu cow, that is, the Western like cow. Anyway, they gave me that cow, and after their wedding, I surprised them by giving the cow back to them, and I said, "This is now your beginning." And they gave me a goat, and that goat has now delivered three babies. And but the reason why they give a goat, they give it that goat to the owner of thanking the parent to keep your daughter, and even the daughter to keep herself pure. If she has never not slept with a man, or when she's a virgin, that's when they give you a goat. So they do that in honor, even to encourage other girls and boys to keep themselves pure until the day of the wedding. We have a say in Uganda, when you come to the orphanage, you find that written in big letters, no sex before marriage. So when they gave us that goat, Olivia was known everywhere, and that was a big thing in our home. It brought honor to our family. And our third daughter, Deborah, is getting married in July. That is another thing. And our last daughter, Angela, she graduated on the 10th in the university. That is also a big deal in Uganda, especially in our home. So now all our daughters, they are out of school, and they are working with me. Olivia is a teacher and a nurse. And Deborah, she's now leading praise and worship in the church. And Vicky is one of the teachers of the champions in kindergarten, as well as hairdressing. I was here last year, and you gave us enough money to put up a big room for teaching the kids that skill of hairdressing. We call that saloon in Uganda. And Vicky, she teaches them in the evening and also during weekends. And Angela, she's on in administration. She's dealing with paperwork in the office. I'm so proud of my God, and I thank God for that, because I remember what Joshua said, that me and my house, we shall serve the living God. So I see that happening, and I always lift up my hands and say, "Lord, let it happen more and more and more and more." So God has been so good to us, and we started another church, and also we are going to start another church when I go back to Uganda. You know, I lost my mother last year when I was in this country. I was not able to attend the funeral. But when I went back, we organized the Thanksgiving service for Mom's to celebrate her life. And on that day, we had so many family members and the relatives came back to attend, and there were over 200. They gave me 2 hours to speak about the love of my mother and her life history, and most of all to preach. I thank God 15 of them gave their life to Christ. And when I saw that, I said, "Lord, thank you. Bye-bye, Mom." Because I had missed to hear the last words of my mom. My dad died when I was 8, and my mom died when I was 51. So I stayed long with my mama, and I loved my mom. But I said, "Lord, how comes that my mom died and I didn't hear the last words?" And also to be able to speak on her funeral. But after getting 2 hours to speak to the relatives and see people turning their hearts to God and denying their culture gods and ancestors on that day, that was enough to satisfy my life. And I'm no longer regretting. I believe that one time I'll be able to see my mom again in a better place than this. So that was, and what from that time we decided to start a church in that area, that community. There's no any church around except the Catholic Church and the mosque. But we realized that if we start a church there, that would be a good thing. We bought a land. And now we are in process of putting up a temporary beginning kind of a shelter. Pray for us because we are believing for a great harvest on that community. Because in Uganda we have tribes, clans, families. But everywhere you find the base of the clan, that is the base of witchcraft, of every kind of dirty work of the enemy. So that community where I was born, that is the base of our big clan. And our clan is the second biggest clan among the 56 clans we have in Uganda. So we need much of your prayers so that the base of the devil be destroyed and dismantled, and the flag and the banner of salvation be lifted up in that area. And I believe God is going to move mightily and is going to touch many lives of people. Then the pastor said that I'm among the elders of the church. That's why I came here to take him back. Because there's a very big work in Uganda now. I was appointed among the 24 elders to 37,000 churches in Uganda. And after that, I realized that we have a big work. As far as getting saved, being born again, God has done that work so tremendously, but we need teachers and we need someone like Pastor Jim. So continue to allow us to share your pastor because we need him so much in Africa and Uganda. And his teachings are really giving a very much impact to our country, to the body of Christ in Uganda. We have him on the radio. Sometimes we put his tapes and the CDs on the radio. And also we have him on TV every Friday. He comes on late evening, like 11:30. But all the pastors, they keep themselves awake until that time. And they always call me, and they call me. He's on. Are you watching? He's on. He's on. He's on TV. He's coming. So, Pastor, thank you for blessing our country. Thank you for being somebody that God is using to establish the church upon the rock. And your teachings are the best that we have ever had. Your teachings has kept my marriage, changed my ministry. And also now is changing the main ministries in the country. So keep it up, Pastor. And please don't stop coming again. The last day of the year, the 31st of December, we gathered in soccer grounds to pray for our country, to repent of what happened in the past, and to dedicate the future of the country in the hands of God. In every district, all believers, they gathered in soccer stadiums. But in our area, in Kampala, the capital city, were over 60,000 Christians. And I was very excited to see how people are crying and calling upon the name of the Lord, how they are repenting in tears and saying that, God, we can't let you go. We are holding on the hem of your garment. Bless our country. Don't leave us alone. That was really enough to satisfy my heart and to know that the future of Uganda is clear. And what the Bible says that blessed is a nation where God of Israel is a God of that nation, is coming to pass in Uganda. And I believe that Uganda will never be the same. Continue to pray for us. We are standing there for the cause of the gospel, and we want to see him every single day, transforming lives and changing people for better. We have just done with our elections, and I thank God the elections went on peacefully. And I believe that even this regime, God is going to bless our country. I think that's all I can share. But when Pastor Jim told me to share here from the Word of God, I don't know why God put this stronger on my heart. Just to share, to tell you or to speak or to preach the same way I speak to my champions. The champions, the orphans, they know much about the cross. We built the prayer garden in the form of the cross. And we always go with these kids every morning and for Bible devotion and prayer. And also in the evening before they go to bed, we have 30 minutes when we go in the prayer garden, pray and learn more about the cross, the events of the cross, why Jesus went on the cross, the benefits of the cross, and what we are now in God through Jesus Christ dying on the cross and his resurrection. So I'm going to speak to you like the way I speak to them. And I've seen this has changed their countenance, changed their lives. They fall deeply in love with Christ. And they are growing up in spirit and in stature. And I believe that soon God is going to give me those disciples. We brought them from different parts of the country. And I believe that when they grow up and go back to their respective areas, I know we shall be having a big number of disciples going all over the country with the banner of salvation being groomed and established upon the rock. Now we have 248 kids in the school. We are feeding them, housing them, educating them, dressing them, loving them, parenting them, and disciplining them. Someone said they are two hardest work someone can do in this world. One of them is becoming a parent, and number two is being a pastor. Those are the hardest work we have always done. But we realize that being a pastor to these kids as they grow up to become teenagers, the more they grow up, the more hard is it. But always God gives us grace, and we can see that we can witness the working of God in their lives. We have 32 others whom we are sending. We have sent in another school, Pastor Vincent School, Kashaisha, because he runs the junior level. We are not yet having the junior level. So we have 32 in his school. We are paying school fees there. And also we are having 248 on the campus. The challenges that we have now, the government has raised up the salary of the teachers, especially in their public school, and they are pressing us also to do the same. We have to top up $700 on what we have been giving them. I mean, not to individuals, but according to the total we have been giving them. And also we are building biogas. Biogas system is now encouraged to be built in Uganda, families and schools, because people were using firewood, cutting the forest, the trees down, and we are almost going to lose the forests. So they have now prohibited cutting wood, and they are encouraging people, especially the schools and boarding schools and orphanages, to use biogas. But we thank God because He always for a plan for His people, because we have to use cow dung to cook, and you know what? We have 16 cows. And yet, five of them, they are soon getting babies, calves. They are pregnant. And we thank God for the bull. Someone in this church bought us that bull. And that bull is doing a tremendous work. They say that if you have two big cows, you can cook for 2 hours. But for us, we have 16. So we don't have any problem. We don't have to go around and look for money to buy cows and or to buy a cow dung from those who are having cows. We have the cows already. And there is one organization under the government helping half of what you are to con of what to use to build up the biogas, and we have to contribute to 2,500 because ours is too big, because we're expecting more kids. And also we have grown 3 acres of passion fruits. I don't know whether you guys here, you know passion fruits, but it's a vine which goes up on wires and bring fruits. And those fruits, they are very nutritious. Nutritious. Very nutritious, and they are on demand in the country and everywhere. So we have grown 3.5 acres of them, and we are expecting a very good harvest from that field of passion fruit. And the purpose of growing that passion fruit, we want to sell and get money, enough money to enough money for the roof of the three storage building we are putting up for good classrooms for our school, because our school was among the schools that performed well 2010 school academic year. Our school was among the top, and in our area, among the 47 schools we have in the area, our school was number one. So many people, they want to give us their kids, but not until we get a good building. And we are now putting much effort on putting up that building. And then we shall let the school be open for even other people to give us their kids. And the school fees, the money we shall get from those who are paying school fees, will be enough to help us to take care of the number of the orphans we need. Because I told God that I don't want to go to heaven until I see not less than 500 champions standing, being good citizens in the country, standing for the cause of the gospel, and defending the gospel in this country. That's my prayer. I said, pray for me. I don't want to go to heaven until I see that. So during that campaign, we need to think about being self-sufficient. And I believe God is going to take us there. We need about 150 bricks. So far, we have made 50,000 bricks. We are on our way to our goal of 150. We are 150,000 bricks plus the money we get from the passion fruit. We shall be halfway to what we want to do to put up that big building for accommodating the number of the kids we want. We shall be always having 700 kids every year, and we need 300 to pay school fees. Then 400, when the 300 pay school fees, we shall be able to take care of 400 orphans every year. So pray for us so that we may reach our goal, and I believe God is going to help us to get there. Thank you so much. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you this day. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to bring me here to see many of my friends and my brothers and fathers. And thank you, Lord, for the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And thank you for the cross and the power that raised him from the dead. We thank you today as we sit before you, Lord. I ask you to speak to us. Lord, let us know what you intended us to know today. And we shall live, oh God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said, that we built the prayer garden in the form of the cross. Today, I want to talk about the cross. Hey, Valerie. Oh, my goodness. I want to talk about the cross. And as I said, that I'm going to talk to you just like the way I talk to my kids, my champions. Though they are still young, but you wonder how they grasp, how they take the message, and how the message is working their lives and change their countenance and even their lives as well. When they go to their prayer garden to pray, you can't believe they're the young kids. And when they start praising and worship, you can't believe they're young kids. God is using the kids. I mean, he's revealing himself to the young ones that is than ever before. And I want to talk about the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18, if you can read, I'm reading from this New International Version, which might be different from your from the Bible you are having, but might be different. But since this is your language, I think you understand what I'm reading. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written that I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom didn't know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and the Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and a foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. The cross is the core of the Bible. When you move the cross from the Bible remains like any other book you can pick from the library. But what makes the Bible unique and special is the cross. Ever since the fall of man in Genesis, in the book of Genesis, all the books of Moses and other prophets was pointing people to what was going to happen on the cross. The four Gospels of Matthew, Luke, Mark, and John was the confirmation of the cross. That's where the promise was fulfilled, Jesus dying on the cross. And from the book of Acts and all the epistles of the apostles points us back to what happened on the cross. So the cross is the center pillar of the Bible and the core of whatever is written in this book. If I get time, I can prove to you in every book in the Old Testament, you will find somewhere, somehow, the cross or something talking about the cross. So the cross is very important. And the message of the cross must be one of the messages all the believers who want to be strong in the Lord, who want to know the love and the depth of his love, must learn and study about the cross. God must reveal to each one of us the meaning of the cross and why Jesus died on the cross. When Jesus went on the cross, I believe you and me know for sure that he never committed any crime. The just died for the unjust. He paid the price of each one of us. The sin of the whole world was laid upon him on the cross at Calvary. It was on the cross where Jesus cried, "Abba, why have you forsaken me?" I can't forget when I was watching the Passion of Christ, the Passion of Christ movie, I saw this Roman soldier with a spear went straight and pierced the sides of Jesus. And the spear went straight to his lungs and his heart. And the blood and water came out of him. Some time back, as I told you before, that I grew up in a Catholic family. Religion. Just counterfeiting the relationship. I didn't know much about the meaning of the cross. I didn't know much about, though I used to put on the rosary. I don't know whether you know the rosary, but on the bottom of the rosary, there's a cross and Jesus crucified on the cross. So I used to put on that rosary and I loved to pray the rosary, talking to Mary, to Jesus through Mary and talking to the saints, other saints. And I never knew that I was really far away from God. I never knew, I knew nothing about God. It was just a mere religion. Didn't do anything to my life. I lived like anybody who lives in this world and commit all kind of sins and do all those evil doings in this world, and I was a wreck, needed to know Jesus more. But I thank God because in the fullness of time, I heard the true gospel. And I gave my life to Christ. And I started to study much, to know about the cross. Because before that, we used to have the pictures and statues in the church, which we used to call the way of the cross. You go from one statue or from one picture to another and see how Jesus suffered and crucified on the cross. One time I could see the time when Jesus was beaten in that picture, and we used to stand before that statue, that picture, and we cry. And I used to say, I wish I was around. I would fight those guys who striped Jesus. Fight them. Why them beating the Son of God, the innocent person who never did anything? Why them beating him like that? I would fight them. And from there you go to another picture, all around. And you reach where Jesus was hanged on the cross and nails through his hands. And there we cried and we cried. But no, didn't know the real truth. But after getting saved and being born again, and study more about the message of the cross. That's when I realized, I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for those people who are beating Jesus. Because whatever happened on or happened to him was for our good. He was beaten on our behalf. He was crucified because of our sins. He was everything that was done to him. Not because of he did anything else, but because of us. We were deserved to be crucified. We are already condemned, facing in destruction in eternity. But thank God, because of Jesus who was sent, who went on the cross and changed the whole chapter and changed everything for better. So I think if you don't understand the message of the, if you don't understand the cross and why Jesus went on the cross, Satan will always use that advantage to torment you or to put you down. But when you know what and why Jesus went on the cross, Satan will never have an access over your life. I said this in Dallas Church this morning that maybe you Americans, You know a little about Satan and the devils and evil spirits and demons and all that junk. But for us in Africa, we know that's we are born in the midst of that. We used to worship spirits, and the spirits used to torment us. I remember one time my sister was possessed, and he wanted to run away and disappear in the forest. But the big guys, they got her and they bound her with big ropes around her hands, like this, and all around her foot. And she was just there looking, and after a little while, she just did like this, and she broke all the ropes which were bounding her hands, and she did like that, and all the ropes were broken, and she started to run. I was still a young man, and I was very scared and afraid of the devils. I had to run and hide myself in fear. But I said, Lord, I wish I had known Jesus and God and the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Satan would not torment my sister and my family members like that. But not until when I got saved. They disowned me, and I don't blame them, because they thought that my heart has contacted another spirit, and the spirit of the family was going to kill all of us. That's why they said, Joel, go and die by yourself there. I suffered that pain of rejection for 3 years. For 3 years, I was not able to see my mother or to be able to talk to her. And even many of my brothers and sisters, except my wife. That's why I love Sarah. But God gave me a scripture. And that scripture was that never go back to them, but they will come to you. That was the scripture that was down here in my spirit. And another scripture was that I will give you many fathers, mothers, brothers, sisters, houses, nations. Those are the two scriptures that really hold me up within those 3 years of rejection. And I never knew how that was going to happen. But I thank God. I thank God. This time, as I'm speaking right now, God has brought those people back to me. Back to me. I can count over 70 people, my family members and my extended family's members and relatives and friends, over 70 so far has already come to my God. That includes my mother, who accepted Christ shortly before she went to heaven. And not only that, God has given many brothers, sisters, fathers, and nations, and he's making me to be a big daddy of a group of champions in my time. I don't take that for granted. I don't take it lightly. Because when I look back to my life history, I was totally nothing. I'm still nothing, but I was totally nothing. In my father's home, I was among the least, the third last, among the 11 kids, same mother. But I was the smallest one. I was so tiny. That's why I'm very careful losing weight. But the doctors, they are really, they say you have to lose 30 pounds. I said, okay, but oh. And And they used to call me nicknames, indicates my situation. They like call me Naunu. Naunu in our language, that means that you are nothing. They can even blow you and you fall down. So they used to call me such names, and I used to fight them and didn't want those names at all. And I grew up like that. Fear demons. Considered as somebody, nothing, nobody, no self-esteem, nothing of that sort. But I thank God after being born again and know what Jesus did for me on the cross at Calvary. That changed my countenance and that changed my lifestyle. I don't want anybody to call me an orphan, because I realized that when Jesus was on the cross, he reconciled me to God my Father. And God is not just somebody seated there in the sovereignty, in his glories, but he's also a Father. The Father that will never die. The Father that is not just owning a small business downtown Kampala or in Texas or Fort Worth. But the whole world and everything thereof belongs to my dad. That changed my way of thinking. That changed my countenance. God is my father, and I've seen him. He never disappointed me since at that time. He provides, he protects, he guides, he takes care of me. He protected me during those tough times of civil wars. I could see people dying here and there, and God protected me. I'll give you an example. One time, the soldiers were given freedom to do whatever they wanted to do. They went around robbing, killing, raping, and doing things of that sort to people, to the civilians. And I told God that, God, Father, if you want me to live longer, don't allow any soldier to break my door. I can't afford to see any man, any soldier, raping my wife before me there. Father, I'm going to fight, and they will shoot me to death. So if you want me to live, don't allow anybody to touch my door. And I plead the blood of Jesus upon my door. So you know what happened? They broke that door and that door and that door and the other door. They never touched my door. And the neighbors, they realized the difference. They started to bring some of their stuff in my house. And I kept all their stuff in my house until the end of the war. And many of them, they gave their lives after that. God can protect. God can keep his people in his hidden chamber. God can provide. I see the way God is providing to me, to my family. In Uganda, to send your kid in school to university, that's a very big deal. Not many parents can do that. But God, the way he has provided and enabled me to take all my kids through all those stages of grades up to university. There's no way I can really explain that, but it's a miracle. I thank God for that. And also to protect my kids, to walk with God and serve God. That's another miracle in a time like this. Is a father. Dear brothers, God is a father. Let us keep that in our mind, that when Jesus died on the cross, he was on the cross reconciling us to God. We are no longer living alone. We are not by ourselves. We have all our whole being now in God through Jesus Christ. We have the life of God in us through Jesus Christ. When he paid and shed his blood on the cross, He shed his blood in this dying world so that the people who are living in death may receive life and life abundantly. I thank God because we are not what the world can call us. Not even my mother, what my mother can call me. Not even my brothers used to call me. Naunu and those words. I'm what God called me. God sees me as my son, as his son. And I've known that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says that anybody in Christ is a new creature. Old passes away, and behold, everything becomes new. When we got born again, dramatically there's something changed. Everything changed, and changed for better. When Jesus died, we are also died in our sins. And in matter of fact, during the time of baptism, that is the sign, identifying the death, dying with Christ, and rose in a new way, new creation. And the Lord's table is communion with God. So we are together with God. No longer isolated, no strangers, but children of his family, fellow heir with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. We are partakers of all the promises of God in his kingdom. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus was buried in weakness. But after 3 days, he rose in power. The gates of hell never closed him there. But he rose in power. And he was welcomed by the angels. And he was made to sit on the left hand of power. You know what Ephesians chapter 2 says? It says that we rose together with him. And we are made to sit with him in higher places. We are not here. We are here. Satan wants always, he wants us to think that we are here. The more you understand that you are not here, but you are here, beyond his work, beyond his power, beyond his reach, beyond his torment, the more you understand that, the more he loses control over your life. The more he loses control. And all his schemes and data owls that he always cast will never reach you because you are beyond and above of what he can do. We are raised together with Jesus and we are made to sit in high places. In fact, when the day I got saved, someone told me that when you get saved, when you are born again, God will not just reconcile you to God. Jesus will not just reconcile you to God the Father, but he's going to give you power over demons and evil spirit and all kinds of sicknesses and disease. And I remembered how the devil used to torment my friend, my family members. And I said, that's the God I want. He said, instead of running away from the devil, you'll be always casting out the devils. I said, wow, that's good. That's awesome. But I tell you what, I've always seen this now happening. The devil that used to torment my people, the devil that we used to forced to bow down and worship and call upon the spirits and devils. I've seen everywhere we go, we see how Satan cries and demons and evil spirits free and they run away. And big people get delivered and get healed. We have seen all aspects of miracles and signs and wonders in every places that we go to lift up the name of Jesus and to preach Christ crucified on the cross. The devil is defeated and all his angels. We are new creation in Jesus Christ. We are no longer live
by ourselves, but we have all our whole being in Christ Jesus. It is because of what he did on the cross at Calvary. The scriptures that we have just read says that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, those who are going astray. But to us who are saved, the Greek and Jew, is the power of God. The power of God. The message of the cross is the power of God. In Christ Jesus, we are new creation. There's power to change us. And I don't want to think much about my past. Because when I think about my past, I see nothing but someone down, oppressed, miserable, having no future, disappointed, having no means of living. But after being born again and have Jesus as Lord and Savior of my heart, from that time up to now, I see someone different. I can't allow anybody to call me what he wants. I can't buy that. Because some people, they want to exalt you there. If they don't do that, they want to put you down. I believe both are not good. I always want to be what God calls me to be. He calls me son. He calls me a victor, a champion. I remember one time when God visited Gideon. He introduced Gideon as somebody different. The way he talked about him was quite different from his way of thinking. He called him a man of valor. And Gideon was like, no, I'm not. I'm not a man of valor. And even I don't see God. Our forefathers told us about his miraculous power and his wonders. But where is God in our time? I'm not a champion. I'm not a man of valor. And God insisted, yes, you are. You were a champion. You were a man of valor. By the time Gideon changed his mind to accept what God called him, from that point onwards, his life was totally different. God used him in many ways to deliver the Israelites from the hands of their adversary. God used him simply because he accepted what God called him or termed him to be. Don't you think that even in our time, we have people that need to respond to what God called them to be? Salvation is not just a mere religion, but it is a relationship. Yep. We are together with God. When you get acquainted with God, then you are a champion. That's why we don't call our children orphans. We call them champion for Christ. And in fact, when you come to the orphanage and say, how many orphans do we have here? You never see any hand. But when you ask, how many champions do we have here? We are going to get a big shout. I'm a champion for Christ. No one wants to look back. No one wants to think even to look back. No wonder Paul said that, I don't want to look back. When I see behind and back, I just see nothing. And I consider everything nothing. But ever since I have Christ, I'm somebody. I have my self-esteem and I'm proud in God. He's God, His Father. The message of the cross is the message of the church. It's a message to all those who are called by God. Those who are called by God's name. We have to know that. We have to bear that in mind. We have to keep that in mind to know for sure that we are no longer what the world think we are. But something changed, dramatically changed in our life. We are new creations. I remember in Luke chapter 10, Jesus said, "I thank you, Lord, because you have revealed this to the younger ones and prudent, and to the prudent. And you have hidden this to the wise." Those who think that they know all, they can fix everything by themselves. No wonder the whole world is going astray, because man thinks that through his wisdom, he can fix the world. The more he thinks like that, the more he harms himself, the more the world goes astray. But revelation of what Jesus did on the cross make everything different. Make everything different, brothers and sisters. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 talks about how we are grafted together with him in his death. When we grew up, when we grew the passion fruits, the 3 acres and of passion fruits, we had to graft the passion fruit. The passion fruit from Africa, from Uganda, is very good for roots down in the soil, but not good with fruits. The passion fruit from the West countries is good for fruits. So what we did, good for fruits, not good for roots. When you plant the one from Western countries, you plant it in Africa, you get nothing. But what we did was to graft the two. We grafted them like this. That's how you can get the good harvest you want. And we're expecting a very good harvest. I tell you, brothers, we are expecting a very good harvest. It is hard work, and it took us time to work day and night, but we are expecting good results and good harvest. And the passion fruit is demand everywhere. But we had to graft it like this. Jesus on the cross, we were grafted with him. And the grafting takes cut or wound. The wound. We had to cut the side, and we cut the other side the same angle, and then we graft them too and bind them like that after like a month and a half. And then afterwards you remove the something you bind it with. When I studied the message of the cross, I see that Jesus was wounded, so that we may be grafted. Sometimes some people, they fear what we say, suffering. There is some kind of wounded, some cut we have to get to be wounded, to be grafted with Christ like that. And after some time, we shall bear fruits. To me, I always have a problem with people who say that they have Christ, and they have Christ in their lives, but their life can't bring any impact to the people, can't bring any change to other people. When you are grafted in Christ, believe me or not, there is a big impact that is going to take place in that area, in that environment. Never be afraid of being grafted. No wonder Paul said that I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Yeah. And even his sufferings. When we suffer in Christ, we are being grafted. And after a little while, we bear fruits. Someone was saying, "I'm born again, but why am I suffering? I thought that when I get saved, everything is fine print. Everything is going to be okay. Then why are these mountains and sufferings, and I don't get what I think I want to get?" I said, "Brother, start about the cross. You are being grafted in Christ. You are as if you don't have, but you have everything. You are as if you are isolated, but you are not forsaken. You are as if you are alone or you are killed, but you are, no one will ever kill you. You are being grafted with Christ in order to bear good fruits, in order to benefit the kingdom. That's why I have the problem when someone is telling me that God is with me and is doing wonders and things, and he end up saying, because I built this big house, I have this big car, I have this and that, I have God. I'm sorry about that. Yes, I believe in prosperity. I believe in those physical and material blessings. I believe in that 100%. But let me tell you, the Bible says that first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the rest shall be added unto you. Before you tell me about what God has done in material things, I want to see how your life is impacting people. I want to see what you have, whether it's doing anything in the kingdom of God. I want your talent, your gift, your money, whatever you have must do something in the kingdom of God. When we are grafted in Christ, we can't say that we can't do anything to this dying world. No, we can do something. God wants us to be good Samaritans in our time. We can do something. I tell you, brothers, we can do something. If you can't go, as the Bible says, go into the whole world, at least you can send someone with your money. If you can't do both, at least you can go down on your knees and pray. We always say that we are always at a distance from one another, but there's no distance in prayer. That's why prayer in our country, in our church, is our way of living. We pray and we see God answers prayer. We pray and we see God guides us. We pray and see how God intervenes and uses us in many ways. God is doing everything. Not only our wisdom. I agree in going to school and gain the knowledge. I agree in everything. That's why I sent my kids to school. That's why we are trying to teach and educate these champions. But the bottom line is to train them and disciple them and groom them and to make them know that God is their everything. And he can do exploits through them. I talked to the brothers in Dallas Church this morning about a story. I remember the story. When we were still in elementary school, they told us this story of the elephant. That one time the elephant was about to cross the bridge. And the chameleon was somewhere there, and he jumped over the tail of the elephant. And when the elephant was crossing the bridge was shaking like this. But when they crossed the other side, the chameleon was the one to give the testimony. That me and an elephant, we have shaken the bridge. Is that true that we can't take any credit? God is doing everything. God is shaking the bridge. Our part is to be grafted on the tail and let him shake the bridge. Let us be acquainted with him. I have much to tell you about this, but I don't have enough time. We are in Christ, and in Christ, everything is possible. I remember what Pastor Jim taught us when he came over to Uganda, that to God there is always an alternative. When we are confused, when mountains are surrounding us, when we don't see even the other side of the mountain, God is always having an alternative. That message has worked in my life and it changed everything. When I'm stuck, when I always say, God, my daddy, I believe that you have always an alternative. I need your wisdom. And when God gives you his wisdom, you get the strategies of victory for his glory. Amen. You find the alternative. Alternative in every, it's a principle that works everywhere. In jobs, in family, celebrating 30 years in marriage is good. But it has been a tough way. There are times when my wife said, I remember one time she said, where is my husband? I said, here I am. She said, no, you are not the husband I married. I want my husband back. Go, leave my husband. I want my husband back. She thought I was a devil. Is that not the life of marriage? Today you see him as you see her as honey. Tomorrow you see him as something different. But the more you crave there, and the more we try our best individually to grow in the likeness of Christ, is that not the way we can make marriage survive? Because man to man, you can't make marriage. It is God with man. And the idea of marriage is from God. He knows how to fix marriage. And we were supposed to celebrate 30 years. People, they think that we are celebrating because of children, because the house he gave us, because of the what he's doing through us. But to keep us together, to bind us together in difficult times, in times when we feel like, I wish I was, I'm not married. But he keeps you there. Bind you together with bonds of his love. God has alternative. If it is not so, we wouldn't be able to take care of these kids. It is hard work. But God always has alternative. I don't know whether I gave you a testimony. One time we had only 2 bags of corn flour. You know corn flour, kaunga, ugali, in the store. And the kid, they eat 1 bag a day, over 100 kilograms. And we had only 2 bags, no money on the account. Tried all means and talking to people and friends. Nothing came in. And I said, Sarah, now I'm going to go into debt. I can't afford to see my kids going without food. Sarah said, why don't we give God another chance? Why don't we wait for at least a day? And I said, Sarah, at this point, I don't have that faith. I said, okay, don't mind. Let us give him at least hours and see. And you know what happened? There's one lady visited our friend, Alex Mitala. And Alex said, do you mind to go and visit the champions of Joel? So she came over and looked around and thanked God and looked around. And finally, when she was leaving without knowing what was going on, she said that I feel that God is telling me to leave a seed in this ministry, to leave something here. She signed us a check, which was enough to feed the kids for a whole month. And another money to grow more food on our land. Isn't that not God? Last year I was here, before I went back, a team of 16 people came, not to visit us, they visited other people. And they said, is there another place that we can go and see what your country? And the pastor said, okay, you can visit the champions. They came. And they visited the place. And they said, our ministry is called Sweet Sleep. We feel that we can do something here. Do you mind if we buy some mattresses for the kids? Then my wife said, you know, we don't mind. They went downtown and they bought 250 beds, 250 mattresses, two bed sheets to each kid, 2 bed sheets to each kid, and a mosquito net to each kid. That was a miracle. Brothers and sisters, that was a miracle. And one of them, when he went back to Uganda, when they went back just last week, they told me that one of them decided to buy 100 pair of shoes for the kids. Is that not God? My daughter, after seeing much money we are giving the nurses and doctors, and sometimes we used to go and get money from other people, and we had to pay interest when we refund that money. She said, "Daddy, I think I can go back to school and study to become a nurse and help in this area where we are spending much money." I said, "Olivia, that's a very good idea, and keep it up." After 2 weeks, someone gave us enough money to take her back to school. We didn't pay anything, but she got all the money, and now she's a nurse helping us to treat the kids, and she's doing an incredible work of treating the kids as well as being a teacher. That's why her husband, when he came to visit me, I told him that you are taking my daughter on condition. One condition: you are not taking her away from that school. You have to give me at least 2 years or more. She has to be there until we find someone who can stand in the gap. And the guy said, "Yes, sir." And I always come and help her and work hand in hand with her. I said, "Fine, you can marry her now." Because she's special. She's special in the kingdom. God revealed her eyes to see the need, and she trusted God to do it. And she went after that until she got it. And now she's doing an incredible work in the ministry. God is doing everything. Now, because our schools, the private schools, are performing very well, the government raised up the salary of their teachers so that our teachers may run and go to their schools. When they didn't go, they said, "Even you have to pay the same amount to the teachers." I know that God has an alternative for that. God is going to help us. God, who really called us to that ministry, I know he's the great provider. He's going to provide for us. And I want to stand here and thank you for being our good Samaritan. Thank you for giving us a hand. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for taking your time to come to Uganda. Emmanuel Church, mean a lot to us. You guys, you brothers, you mean a lot to us. I'm serious. You mean a lot to us. You never know what you are doing until the great day when God, when Jesus comes back with rewards to give people. I know that we shall share the rewards of doing something in our time. We are living in the time where the whole world is waiting for someone grafted with Christ. He's waiting for that person. He's waiting for that one who says, "Come what may, I'll never leave Jesus. I'm ready to suffer, and I'm ready to be acquainted with him, and I'm ready to say yes to what he wants me to do, to go where he wants me to go." God is waiting for that person. And I believe that that person is in this church somewhere, somehow. And you have done that. You have come to Uganda. Valerie, thank you for coming to our country. When we see you guys coming to Africa, for me, after being here and traveling around and see your country, leaving all these opportunities you have here, and I don't know how you call that, the good things here, and you come to Africa, you come to the dust world, the roads in Africa, Pastor David says that this is Jesus' road, and we always drive him and we go in this pump, and he said, "This is Jesus' road." We don't take that for granted. That's a big sacrifice. Thank you for being our good Samaritan to give us a hand for creating an opportunity for these young ones to see their future, to redeem the future of Uganda. And I'm not regretting why God called us in the ministry in such a time as this. I used to cry seeing people dying of AIDS and the civil war that left the country in a mess of many orphans everywhere, crying and crying and crying. But time came when we changed that and we realized that it's not time of crying, it's time of taking the opportunity. We changed that into opportunity of serving God, of doing something. You know what? It's time where God is using the ordinary for extraordinary work. And I believe that if you bear that in mind, that we are not the world called us, but we are what God called us. We can do what God says that we do, and we can go where God sends us. I met some people here in this country. They ask me whether there are so many snakes in Africa, everywhere. Wild animals. They are scared of what we have there. They want, first of all, to prove whether it is a convenient place to go so that they may come. But I always tell them that, you know what? It is on your heart. When you hear the voice of God, when God lays it on your heart, and you hear that voice that go, I assure you that God is going to take care of everything. I tell you, one time Pastor Jim came over in Uganda, and I said, okay, let me take this guy to interior area. And I was testing him. Sorry, Pastor, I'm sorry to say this. I said, let me test the ministry of this guy. And we went to interior areas, we went in villages and deep in village there. I saw him preaching, and coming back there, many other vehicles which were stuck in the road, and I looked at him and he was just there in peace. And until when we had to pull that car from the road and our car could pass, then after that I said, Lord, I'm going to go anywhere in Africa, everywhere you send me in Africa, I'm ready to go. If this man of God from Fort Worth and Dallas, you know, I don't know whether you guys, you know how important is your area. When you tell people in Uganda that I'm going to Dallas, oh, good for you. They think Texas is another heaven. But someone come from Texas to come down there. I said, Lord, I can go anywhere now. Now we are going to islands, places where you find the fishermen. And when you ask for the restroom, they say, go that side. I will not explain that in details. But when you preach and see how they respond to the gospel, you can there know that God is not a respecter of people. He loves all his people to hear the gospel and to embrace this free gift of salvation and be grafted with Christ so that he may change the lifestyle. Africa was a country once considered a dark continent. But I tell you what, God is changing Africa. Jesus is becoming the rivers of life in our continent. And Africa is shouting for joy because Jesus is flowing in that continent. Pray for us. I believe that one time every country of Africa will be a country to visit. But you can not wait for that time. You can come now. You can come. We want you to come. We love visitors. And I believe that in this church, God has invested a lot in your hearts. And what you have, we need it in Africa. Not many churches have these solid teachings, but you do have it here. When you have it here, bring it to Africa. We shall receive it. I can't forget when Lynn and Scott, they went somewhere in a small church. And the pastor called him and he said, you know what? You can't believe what is happening here. God is moving in a wonderful way. People are getting saved. People are getting delivered. People are getting delivered. Pastor, oh, thank you for sending these people, men and women of God. Thank you, and send them again. So when Scott and Lynn came back and I said, what happened? Okay, God moved. God touched people. And I asked another group. And I remember David also went somewhere. They went in different churches. Everywhere you guys went, we got good reports. And people need you back. You don't know what you have. What you have in your heart can contribute much to the kingdom of God. You're welcome to Africa. I want to pray for you, but remember that the message of the cross is nothing to those who are getting lost. When we talk about that, when we say that on the cross Jesus was beaten for our healing, our rescue, those who are perishing, they say, I have my doctor. I have that. But time came in Africa where people could not say that, because there was no doctor who can cure AIDS. And many of them were dying. Not even Africa. I think even somewhere. I was in one church here. And someone was told to live a little time because of cancer. And no more hair. She was putting on wig. And when I preached about the cross, God healed her. The next time I came, she said, we have to eat and drink because God healed me here. And she was there, right there in the church this morning. God healed Cathy and his wife. We celebrated because she realized, he knew that Jesus was beaten for her deliverance. When we say that, when you accept Jesus died on the cross, that he paid the price of your sins on the cross, he died on your behalf so that you may not die, so that you may not be destroyed in hell. For those who are getting lost, that is nothing. But those of children of God, they know, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. When we say that when Jesus died on the cross, we are no longer old creatures, but we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. We are acquainted with God. We have the victory, and we are living and walking in a victorious life. We know where we are going, and we know where we are coming from. We know what is next, because everything God ends up on positive. To those who are lost, that is nothing. But to those who are called by God, that is power. That's why the Bible says that us who are getting saved, it is the power of God. I believe there is always enough power. And God's hand is strong and powerful enough to touch each and every one of us and meet us and meet our needs and help us. But remember, no one supposed to take any credit. It is the chameleon over the elephant. There's a place where we went, and people they considered us, I don't know what they wanted, like worshiping us. And I said, you don't know what you are doing. We are just chameleons, but God is shaking the bridge. God is the one touching the lives of people. God is changing everything for better because of his love and because of the death of his son on the cross at Calvary. It is his power in action. It is his power that's changing everything. That is his power that's lifting many people in different areas of their lives. And I know that even here, God can do the same thing. Are you hurting? Do you have any problem? Do I have a minute? Let me tell you the first miracle that God performed in my family that made me and my wife to say is her salvation. When I got saved, I never knew that you can, when you are born again, you can stay with an unbeliever wife. So I decided to go home and divorce my wife that day. But I didn't want to tell her the reason why. I just wanted to find out any mistake she does there in the home, begin to call there, and then finally declare a divorce. But that night, I didn't see anything she did, anything wrong. And I said, Lord. And I said, okay, tomorrow I will begin. I will confront her. I will try. Then the following day after work, I went home and I said, Sarah, I want you to boil water for me. And I want you to take that water in the shower room, take the towel, and wait for me there until I finish to take shower. You could not tell my wife like that. That was like insulting her life. But anyway, she did everything accordingly. And I remember seeing her taking the water, because we used to have the shower room behind the house. She was taking the water in the basin in the shower room. And I said, Lord, how? That is no good. So I went, I took shower, and I said, okay, the following day I'll try again. But that day there was a Bible study. And even there was a Bible study. And I went to church. And even by that time, I didn't want people to see me going to the born-again church. I had a small Bible, and I used to hide it inside my coat. And I went to the church. After the message, the man of God, the pastor said, I'm going to pray for you. If you have any kind of need, if you have any problem, maybe you are sick, my God is sufficient enough to meet all the needs of his people. When I heard that, I said, Lord, in my spirit, I said, oh, if God can meet all the needs of his people, now my need is my wife to get saved. If he can only do that to me so that I may not divorce my wife, because I loved Sarah with all my heart. But because of what I had received in my spirit, I had decided to divorce her in ignorance. God knows how to deal with our stubbornness and our ignorance. So the guy made a long, powerful prayer. He prayed for about 5 minutes. And I was convinced in my spirit that I would find Sarah saved. All talking about God, all the Bible. But getting home, looked at her, nothing. She was totally nothing. She didn't even talk about the Bible, not even God. She was just nothing. She wanted to drink beer because she was a very good boozer. She could drink me under the table. I was a good smoker. I used to smoke 2 packets a day of cigarettes. And I was going to take another step of marijuana. But for her, she was really a boozer. She just wanted a bottle of beer. I said, Sarah, no beer. No beer today. And she said, okay, I'll wait. Then I said, okay, tomorrow I'll divorce this lady. But going back home, I was very surprised finding Sarah waiting me at the door. And she said, before you get into the house, I just want to take you to that man there, and I want him to talk to you about the words of God. And I want you to get saved and get what I have already received in my spirit, the joy and peace of mind after accepting Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want you to get the same thing. I was very surprised. I said, no, I have to prove whether she's serious or not. Then I said, Sarah, you know, I'm a Catholic. My daddy died a Catholic. My mom is a Catholic. All my brothers and sisters, they are Catholics. We have nothing to do with those born-again people. And if you tell me that you are born again now, it's obvious that we can't stay together. Unless you say that you are just joking. She said, no. I'm not joking at all. For your information, that man, after confessing Jesus as Lord and Savior, he told me, and he read a scripture in the Bible, which says that whosoever denies Christ before people, God, Jesus is going to deny him before God and his angels. And she said, I can't even afford to miss what I have already in my spirit to be able to stay with you here. I'll either go and leave you and keep what I have in my spirit, the joy and peace after getting saved. And she went down on the bed and she moved the basket. This is very strong in Africa, but I think this has nothing to do with you guys here. Most of the people who are getting saved in Uganda, especially in my culture, the aunt always give her some kind of rituals that every morning she wakes up in morning and touching them and speak blessings. It's kind of witchcraft. But Sarah, she removed out the basket, and the basket was empty. And she said, you know what? That guy, he told me that I don't need that. When I have Christ, I don't need anything like that. God is going to bless me. God is going to keep me. God is going to help me. So I took everything to him, and he set everything on fire. And he gave me the basket, and he said, I can use the basket with anything else I need. Here is the basket. When I saw that's when I said, okay, now God has visited my home. I said, Sarah, it has been now three days since I gave my life to Christ. And all along these days, I've been looking for a divorce. But it was just yesterday, the man of God prayed for those who are having needs. And my need was God to touch you. If you are really, really serious and sure that you have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, now I know there is God somewhere, and that God, let him be the God of this family. And she said, no, don't fear, don't be afraid of that man. He's a man of God. Don't fear, let's go. It took me a long time even to convince her that I was already saved, until finally I removed that small Bible I had, and I said, you see this? They gave me this small Bible from the church. I gave my life to Christ. Then from that point, we needed to go down, and we recited the only prayers that we had those people praying, Our Father in Heaven. Because the rest of the prayers were praying Mary and Saint Jude, and because we are Catholics. But we recited Our Father in Heaven. And we said from that time that God is God of our home. That was the first miracle. From that point, I know that God can do anything. God is not a man to lie. God is overpowerful. I mean, he has all the power. He has all the love. He's omniscient and omnipotent God. He has all the power to meet all the needs of his people. I've seen God doing everything. And I'm a true witness that he can do it for you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your loving kindness and your tremendous mercy. I thank you, Lord, to bring me back here, my second home, my church, to my brothers and my fathers. I thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in this fellowship. Thank you to bring us together for the advancement of the kingdom. And thank you, Lord, to make us brothers and sisters in the Lord. And most of all, we thank you for the relationship we have with you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord, because we are grafted, and we are grafted in Christ when he died on the cross. It is true that the message of the cross is the power of God to those who believe, but it is nothing to those who are going astray. We combine our faith together today, Lord, and believe that, God, you are our Father. Amongst us, there are those who are hurting. There are those who are in need, different needs, Father. But because you are our everything, Lord, we believe that you can touch us. That's why we pray. Lord, I pray that you stretch your hand and touch us individually and meet us where we are and touch us that very point where we are hurting, Father. There are those who are sick. But because of your death, by your stripes, Lord, it's written that we are healed. We are healed, Lord. And we are whipped and striped terribly, so that every kind of sicknesses might be dealt with. Father, I thank you because you weakened the power of sin, sicknesses, and disease. And the sickness can't have any more root and access of our lives because of your beatings, Lord, because of your suffering, Father. Lord, I bring all those who are suffering in sickness in your hands, Father, Lord. Just like that lady with an issue of the blood touched the hem of thy garment, Lord, and she was completely healed. Lord, I believe even today, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, through your love that endures forever, I ask you, Lord, let your healing virtue flow right now, Father, in our midst, in our lives, Father, from the top of our heads, Lord, to the shores of our feet. Let us be healed, Father, in Jesus' name, to the glory of Jesus Christ, your Son. Because healing is the mere food to your children. And by your stripes we are healed, Lord. And I stand in the power that raised you from the dead. And you say that I've given you power over demons, sicknesses, and disease. I want to rebuke every sickness now in Jesus' name. And I command every sickness to die from the root in Jesus' name. Because it was dealt on the cross at Calvary. Any kind and any name must bow under the name of Jesus. Any name called any sickness, any name of any kind of sickness must bow down and bow under the name of Jesus, which is above all names, the name which was given to us under heaven for salvation, for deliverance, for healing, for everything. The name of Jesus died and rose from the dead. Sicknesses go in Jesus' name. Father, you can meet us even in other areas of life. We are living in an economical crisis, but you know how to take care of your people. You always have alternative. You fed Elisha. And when the bird and the well dried up and the bird never bring meat to him, Father, you had another alternative. Lord, I ask you, God who never changed, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, God of Elijah, you can do the same to my brothers here, Lord. They have done a lot to the advancement of the kingdom, Lord. I'm the right person to stand here, Lord, and bring them entirely in your hands, God. God, our provider, provide a way Give them favor. Give them, Lord, and bless the works of their hands, Lord God. Make them to know and to see that this is not my mind, this is not my skill, this is not my education, but this is the Lord is doing, and he's doing, and he has done everything to the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, bless them abundantly in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Father, I pray for their offspring. We are living in the time where the devil is saying that leave the children behind. You go to the promised land, but leave your children behind. The devil want to have our children in his hands so that he may destroy the future. But Lord, I've seen you doing great and mighty things in my champions, in my children, Lord. Father, I believe the same way that you can help my brothers or the parents in this church. You can help them, Lord. You helped that guy of the prodigal son. He was happy to see that his son was lost. But when he came back, he was full of joy. Let your servants, Lord, get the same joy to see that you bring the hearts of the children to the fathers, the daughters to the mothers, Lord. The devil can't have them, and he can't lead them astray. Let them admire to walk in the ways of their parents, to see Jesus. You say that, Lord, you reveal this to the young ones and to the prudent. Let our children, Lord, be revealed Jesus Christ who died on the cross and see the benefits of his death and his resurrection, Lord, and receive him as Lord and Savior for the betterment of their lives, Lord, so that they may stand for the cause of the gospel in future and to defend your work and to defend the gospel, Lord. In Jesus' name, we claim them back. In Jesus' name, you devil, take away your hands. You can't take them in drugs. You can't take them in all those sorts of things that leads people astray. In the name of Jesus, we call them back in the right track. And let Jesus be the Lord of our families, Lord. Father, I thank you. I thank you because we are surrounded by the cage of your protection. And the angel of the Lord is encamping around our families, Father. And Lord, you promise that you know even the number of the hair we have on our heads, Lord. You feed the birds, Lord, and no one of those birds lack. They don't grow. They don't grow food, but you feed them. And you close even the weed in the bush there, Lord. You can close your people. You can feed your people. You can take care of people. And we shall laugh at the world. We shall laugh and be filled up with laughter. And the people, they will ask, why? Where do you get that peace? Where do you get everything? We shall always say that we are just a chameleon, but the elephant is shaking the bridge. You receive all the glory and honor. But I thank you for the healing. I thank you for the provision. I thank you, Lord, for the miracles. And I thank you, Lord, for paving the way where there's no way. Thank you for the victory, from victory to victory, from glory to glory. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I give you all the praises and glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.